Excuse me. I have a question, and some of you may have a hard time being honest about this question or not, but how many of us in here are like, consider yourself really competitive? And nobody's like, okay, there's a couple people that are being honest, raising their hands. Some of your spouse just turned and looked at you, so I know that you're the competitive one in the family. And so in my family, we have some competitive boys, and they want to do the best that they possibly can. And I remember as I was growing up as well, like if someone liked to trash talk, then I wanted to make sure if I was playing that sport, if it was basketball, then I wanted to make sure that I won that game. And so the more that people trash talked, the more that I actually wanted to win that game. Now let me ask you, anybody in here kind of feel like that? The more people who trash talk you, the more that you're willing to win. Okay, now we have a couple more honest people that raised their hand. I guess they didn't know what competitiveness was. I'm not sure. And so that was me. Like, I was going to try my hardest. I was going to do everything possible to make sure that I win, especially if there's trash talking. And so now, years later, we have two boys. And one in particular, he is definitely competitive, and he is definitely going to do everything that he can to win. And so I always turn to my wife when he is playing a game and said, he is your child. He definitely takes after you. And she always looks back at me and she says, no, you're the competitive one. And see, I always turn back to her and said, if you're going to argue about it and you want to win the argument, then that just proves that you're the competitive one. And so this morning we're going to kick off a series called Goliath Must Fall. And in this series, maybe you're thinking, okay, another sermon series on David and Goliath. Many of you probably heard the story hundreds and maybe thousands of times. And see, we have this Israelite army and we have the Philistine army, and they're camped across from each other in this valley of Elah. And I always kind of get tickled when I read a story like this, because you have the Philistine army, and you have the Israelite army, and they're camped here. It's like there's this valley in between. And then, as you know, the story goes on. Goliath comes out and he makes this challenge. And I still kind of, when I read that, I'm like, why are you just going to stand there and like look at each other? Why are you just going to camp from the other side? Because I promise you, if some 9-foot guy kind of walks out and make a challenge, I'm going to sneak around the backside or something. I'm not going to try to take him on head on. And so we have the story going on, and then all of a sudden Goliath shows up, and he comes out and he says, hey, I want you to send your best warrior. I want him to come out and fight me. And then you have the Israelite army, and they're kind of afraid, or they act like they're hard of hearing, and they didn't really hear what Goliath had to say. And so Goliath makes this statement for 40 different days, and no one seems to step up. And then all of a sudden, there's this shepherd boy that comes along, and he hears the challenge, and he kind of looks around, and he sees that no one else is there and accepting the challenge. And so he goes, and he gets his 5 smooth stones, and he goes out. He uses his slingshot. He slings the stone. He knocks the giant down. Then he goes over and he chops his head off, and the Israelites win the battle, and the Israelites begin to chase after the Philistines. And so chances are you've heard that story many, many different times. And so if you're like me, a lot of times when I read that story, I want to be David, like the underdog, the person who is going to go out and win the victory. And I think that a lot of times when we read the story of David, that's what we think about. Hey, I'm David. I need to step up to the challenge. I need to step up to the plate. I need to make sure that I give it my best. I need to have faith in God. And we think about all these different things. But this morning, I want us to do a little bit of a twist on the story. What if we're not David? What if Jesus is David and he's came and he's already won the victory for us? But what if we're the Philistine army? And there are things in our life that we are just a little bit afraid of. And there are some challenges a little bit bigger than we thought we would ever face. We've talked the good talk. We act like everything is great. But then when this giant walks up into our life, we become hard of hearing. We want to ignore it. We want to try to act like it's not there. But just like the Philistine army, just like the Israelite army, as they're there, every day Goliath comes out and he makes this challenge. Guess what? That giant is still
there. Just because the rest of the day they eat their breakfast and they eat their lunch and they kind of carry on talking and no one wants to talk about the Goliath doesn't mean that Goliath doesn't exist. And so I want us to stop and I want us to think today, what is it going to take for us to find a way to take the giants down in our life? What's it actually going to take? Because what if our job is to leverage what already Jesus has already done for us to take down the giants that are in our life? Could it change the way that we look at life? Could it change the way that they're the giants that are in the land? And so over the next few weeks, I want us to look at this particular story. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 17, I want us to read in verse 4. And we pick up in the story, and they're already kind of lined up on each side of the valley, and they're already there. And it says, "Then Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall, wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He also wore leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin over his shoulder. Then the shaft of his spear was heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him, carrying the shield." And I read that, and am I the only one that reads that and think, I think I need to start working out or something, because all that stuff is like really, really heavy, and I just don't think that I'm going to be carrying it, much less like throwing any of that. And then there's this huge guy, 9 feet tall. I just kind of picture him kind of walking, and then if he goes up on his tippy toes, then he's going to like hit his head on the basketball goal, like he's that kind of tall. And he's this trash talker to top it off. And we see in verse 8, "Goliath stood and shouted and taunted across the Israelites. 'Why are you coming out to fight?' he called. 'I'm the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me.'" And no one responds whatsoever. In fact, in verse 11 it says, "And when Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken." All of them. Every single one of them, they were terrified from what Goliath, when he came out, and the things that he had to say. And I think that, if we're honest, plenty of us, we face the same predicament during our weeks and during our life and during the past month. And many of us, we're facing these huge challenges in our life. Maybe we feel stuck. Maybe we feel like we just don't know how we can win and how we can get past this. And a lot of our giants, they're really like the Philistines. They've been with us for a while. Because if you read the story in the Bible, it's the Israelites and the Philistines, and that's been going on like for a while. This is not just the first time that they've ever heard of each other and seen each other. Like, this is a battle that just continues to happen. And so maybe for us, our giants, we've resolved some of the things, and maybe we've kind of come to this resolve like the Israelite army is, like these giants, they're just going to stay in our life. I just don't see that there's ever going to be a point in time in my life that these giants are really not going to be there. And for some of us, maybe the giant is fear. And there's just some things going on in your life, and it's just that deep-seated fear. And if you're honest, you're just deeply terrified, just like the scripture says that the Israelites were. And maybe you're afraid when you're alone with your own thoughts. Maybe if you're afraid, it's the fear of how your kids are going to turn out. Maybe it's the fear of some things that are taking place at work. Maybe it's the fear of just some different ways that maybe some different relationships are going. And then for some of us, I'm afraid maybe it's even the fear we have battling the giant of rejection. And the truth is, maybe you grew up in a home and You had to do everything that you possibly could to get your parents to love you. And your report cards, they really weren't quite good enough. And so every time that you did anything, you were just afraid that your parents would reject you. And so the giant in your life has just continued to stay this fear of rejection and this giant of rejection. And we just have that in our life. And you just don't feel like that you can ever get anybody's approval, that everyone just kind of rejects you. Or maybe it's the giant of some addiction. And you have some addiction in your life, and it's just been there, and it's just that addiction, and it's the giant that's there, and if we're not careful, we just begin to act like it doesn't even exist because we don't even know how to deal with it anymore, and so we just kind of ignore it. And a lot of times we think that once we give our lives to Christ, then there's no more giants in our life. And that's just not the case. I don't know what your giant is. It may be anger, it may be fear, it may be rejection, and it may be something that I didn't even mention. But I do know this, they're there. And there are giants in our life that are there, and they just seem to stay there. And see, there are all kinds of giants still lurking in the land. And we're going to look at some of these more specifically over the next few weeks. These giants that just stay in our life, and the giants that are there, and we just kind of act like they're really not there. See, Jesus says in John chapter 10, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give a rich and satisfying life. See, here's what I believe, that Jesus didn't come to die on the cross for our sins. He didn't come to conquer the grave just so we could live with these giants in our life. He come to give us victory. And he come to give us this freedom that we've never really maybe possibly experienced. But some of us, we're still experiencing. We've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And we understand all that, but we're still experiencing these giants in our life. And so the reason is, just because a giant is dead does not mean it's not deadly. Some of us, we think we've defeated the giants in the past, and the truth is they're still deadly. See, I learned this a long time ago. When I was growing up, I was a typical boy, and I would love just to go out and explore and just kind of see what we could get into. And so we would do that at home, but when we went to my grandparents' house, I would definitely do this, because there's one thing you know about grandparents. They just let you do whatever you want to do. And that was really, really great. And it's one of the reasons I love going to their house. And see, my grandparents in particular, they had 80 acres of land. And so that, guess what that meant? I could run, I could play, I could explore as much and as long as I possibly wanted to. And so we were always kind of seeing what we could get into and what we could actually do. And I remember this one specific time that we were out exploring, and we come across this snake, and it was like this huge water moccasin. I think it had to be like 100 feet long and maybe 6 feet wide. You know what I mean? You see those things and they're just like huge. And I'll never forget, we were in this one place, the one place my grandma said, don't go over here to this one particular part where the creek actually comes into the pond, because guess what? There's a lot of snakes. And so what do? We go right over there where the creek runs into the pond. And what happens? Exactly what my grandmother said would happen. And so as soon as we see this snake, what do? We run as fast as we possibly can. Like, I just remember, like, just instantly just running as fast as we can. And, like, there was this big gate that you had to open to drive in and out. And we would I just remember, like, going over the fence. I don't even remember, like, opening the gate. It was get there as fast as we can. And I remember my grandma, she was looking out the glass, double glass door she had on the back of her house. And as we get there, she goes, what are y'all doing? We're just racing. We just wanted to see who could get here the fastest. And maybe you're like me, and if you usually saw a snake, your dad or your grandpa or someone would go get a shovel. And they would take that shovel and they would chop the head off the snake. And then my dad would usually do something like this. See, he would take and dig a hole and he would bury the head of the snake into the ground. And here's what he always told me. Don't touch the snake, boy. Because if you touch the head of the snake, it can still bite you and poison you just like it was if it was alive. And I think a lot of times, these giants in our lives, they're like the snake. We think that we've killed it. We think that we're past it. We think that we've moved on. But they're still there. And they're still just as deadly. And so, a snake can be deadly, can be dead and still deadly. And I believe that happens and applies to the giants in our life. And I believe that Jesus wants us to bury the giants in our life. But Satan, he knows how the story ends. He knows in the end that Jesus wins. And so the only weapon that he has against us is to get us to believe the lies that are not true. And to get us to begin to live in a way that we actually believe those lies are actually true. When the truth is, Jesus has already declared victory. And so how do we stay, or how do we stand in faith when facing our giants? First of all, we have to get the right perspective. The biggest difference between David and the rest of the army, the Israelite army, was the perspective. See, the Israelite army, they were looking at Goliath, and all they could see was this huge giant that was 9 feet tall. And I think that it gives all the detail of what he was wearing, because that's what really they were really focused on. Because, I mean, it tells us, like, exactly everything he was wearing, who he was carrying, that he had this armor bearer in front of him. Like, how in the world could they defeat him? So their perspective was, hey, look how big he is. Look how undefeatable he is. Look at all the armor he has. David's perspective was a little bit different. See, David actually saw the giant through Jesus' lens, through God's lens, and he saw it a lot different. See, in verse 24, it says, as soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. And when David showed up, he had a question like, have you seen that giant? Did you hear what he had to say? And they're like, yeah, he comes out every single day and he's so big. He's got this spear. And David comes onto the scene. He's like, really? Like, do you know the God that I know? And he begins to kind of question it a lot. And we see in verse 26, it says this. David asked the soldier standing nearby, what will a man get for killing the Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway, that he's allowed to defy the armies of the living God? See, David sees this giant through the lens of his God, and he realizes how much bigger his God is than this giant. He realized that he worshiped the same God that split the seas wide open. He worshiped the same God that there was water that came out of rocks. He's the same God that had seen people healed. And he realized this, and he said this, our God is greater than my fear. See, in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? And it's just you against your giants. If it's just you against your giants, then I really don't like your odds. But if it's you and God against your giants, I like your odds. And see, a lot of times with the giants that we're facing in our life, that we just think there's no end to them, and they've just kind of been there for a long time, and that we've just kind of got used to them. The difference is, we just need to get the right perspective. And maybe it's that addiction. And maybe it's that fear, and maybe it's that anger. And I think the Israelite army had just gotten to the point that they just didn't think the giant was going to go away. That they were just willing to live with the giant coming out every single day. And I wonder today how many of us, we just have the wrong perspective. And if we're honest, we've been struggling. We've been having a hard time. There's just been things going on in our life, and they seem huge. And they seem just this massive thing that there's just no way around it. And the truth is, we just need to get our perspective right. And we just need to be reminded, like David reminded the Israelites, that God is bigger than the problems that we face. He's bigger than the things that we're scared of. And He is in control, and He can handle the things that are going on in our life. And then I notice a part of this story that honestly it's not preached on a lot of times because it's kind of like maybe a little bit of gory, and you know, a lot of times we learn this story as when we're a kid, and so we just kind of leave this part out. But like when David slung his stone and he hit the Goliath and the giant fell down, he goes over and he takes his sword and he cuts his head off. And at best, like when we tell the story as a kid, that's kind of like where we stop. But David actually grabs the head of the giant and he walks up to Saul, into Saul's tent, and he goes, "I'm sure you heard by now that the giant, he's dead. But just in case you didn't hear that, let me show you his head. And I'm sorry that I got a little blood on your rug over there, but I just wanted to make sure that you knew for sure that the giant, he's gone." And I think sometimes in our life, we need to learn that from David, and we need to tell someone that our giant is dead. Because a lot of times we want to keep that giant to ourselves. Oh, we're over it. I got past it. I've dealt with it. But no one ever knows. And I read this story, and I see this idea that you're seeing here of this giant. And this principle is true. We need to tell someone when we have a victory. We need to tell someone about the giants in our life. David's brothers, they didn't want him to know that he was just a shepherd boy. They sure didn't want him to know about this giant that was in their life, and now it's in David's life. He didn't want him to know. And so David, he takes this, and what we have to realize is this: if we confess something, it loses the power over us. But a lot of times, we allow it to keep this power over us because we're just ashamed to admit it to anybody. We're ashamed to admit there is this giant. And so what happens is the giant just continues to stand. And even when we begin to think we knocked this giant down, it's still deadly, even when it's dead, because we've never confessed it. We've never told the single person. We kind of keep this to ourselves. And so tell someone about your victory. And then David, he went ahead and he would sing victory songs. See, David, he was one who loved to sing and he loved to write songs. And so he would write songs about different things. And he would sing these songs to God, to worship God, but just also in the way to tell God that he had victory. Thanks to God, because he worshiped him in that way. You know, I mentioned my son, and one of my sons, he loves to play baseball. Absolute favorite sport. He likes to play so much because he likes to have the ball in his hand, and so he either pitches or he catches, because he wants to change the game single-handedly. And so it's become this thing with our coaches. We know when he's on the mound if we're going to win that game by a landslide or not. because it's all in his body language, and it's all there. And he has this one, just one little motion that he makes, and if he makes that motion at any point in the game, it's over. Because he'd already got it in his mind, I'm setting this kid down. And so we laugh at the coaches. We look at him, and we'll watch, and as he begins to pitch, and he'll come off the mound, and he'll make that one particular motion. He'll kind of give us that smile, and we don't worry about it. Because challenge for him is like challenge accepted. Like I said, he takes after my wife, so he's very competitive. And so, like the last game that we just played, it didn't matter how far we are ahead. He wants to win. And so if a kid comes up to bat, his mission is simply strike the kid out. And here's the thing for him. I don't even want him to get a hit. Like, I don't want him to hit one to first base and the first baseman to get an out. I want to strike them out. What I want you to learn is this. I can learn from watching him when he's going to win. By his body language. By the motion that he makes. By the grin on his face. That he actually believes that he has victory. And I believe that's what it is when we worship. That we're singing this victory song. David already knew he had victory before he ever went to the giant. He went through some things that people wanted him to go through. Like, oh, try on all this armor, because this is what you have to do to go face the giant. And David tries it on and is like, my son's trying to wear my clothes or something. And it was just way too big. And instead, David did what David knew. And he went out and he picked up 5 stones and he walked out. And here's what the giant pretty much had to say. It was trash talker. He said, I'm going to kill you. And not only am I going to kill you, I'm going to feed you to the dogs when I'm done. I don't know about you, that kind of scared me just a little bit. But David, his response is this. Wait a minute. I worship God, the living God. I'm going to kill you. I will feed you to the dogs instead. And he was already singing his victory song as he went to face the giant. What I want you to understand today is, if God is David on the cross, he said this, it's finished. In other words, he declared the victory. The problem is, I think a lot of times, we want to be David, but the truth is, we're the Philistines. I mean, we are the Israelites. And we're just looking across at the giants. And we've just become okay that they're there. We've become and just accepted the fact that they've been in our life, sometimes for years. And we've accepted the fact that they're just going to be in our life until we die. That's not what God says. He gives us victory over the giants that we have. So what I want you to realize this morning is it's time for us to evaluate. It's time for us to really look at the giants that are in our life. What is it in your life? What giants are there? Is it just that insecurity, like I don't really think that I'm good enough or have the qualities enough or have the skills enough to get this job? Is it that fear? Is it that anger? And honestly, someone just has to say just some little something and you just fly off the handle and it's that giant in your life. Or it's that addiction. Or it's a slew of other things. And you've lived your life and now you're adults or you're teenagers and you just live with that giant for so long that it's just there. And we look at here, and he came out for 40 days, but for some of us, it's more like 40 years the giant's been there. And we've just developed this selective hearing, and we just kind of act like it's not there. Because we don't think that we can win the battle. I want us this morning to begin to shift the atmosphere. And I want us to get the right perspective. And maybe this morning that giant, it's there and you know it's there and you already know which giant it is. Maybe some of you put it so far back that you're not for sure what it is. But it's time to get the perspective of this. God is bigger than any of your giants. And it's time for us this morning to stop looking through this lens of what I can actually do and look through the lens of what God can actually do. And for some of you, you've kind of fooled yourself because like you kind of felt like you defeated the giant. Because I want you to realize just because the giant is dead doesn't mean it's not deadly. If you want to lose its power, then we've got to confess it. We need to have that person that actually knows the giants that we're facing in our lives. That's one of the reasons I love my small group, because we can share the different things that are going on. We can share the rough week we've had. And we have these people in our life that, you know what? I know that they're praying for me. And then some of us, we need to start singing the victory song. And when we worship, it needs to be that we know that we worship this God that is so big and so powerful that he can take the giants down even before they fall. David knew it before he went out there. David knew it after he left. And so I hope over the next few weeks that we can just begin to identify some of the giants in our life. Some of the things that have just been standing for far too long. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come to you today, dear Lord. I just pray that you just show us the giants that are in our life, dear Lord. And I just pray that you just help us just understand today that you give us victory. I pray that each and every person is able to look at the giants and the hardships and the things that they're facing through your lens this morning, dear Lord. And I just pray that you just, that we would just see that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to have a time of worship. And maybe for you this time of worship is really honestly just to sing that victory. And honestly, the giant's still standing in your life. But right now, you're just going to say, I know God is bigger than the giants that I face. That I know that Jesus came 2,000 years ago to die on the cross for my sins to give me victory. And I know he has the power to do it.